This is Tech Talk for Accountants Show, where we discuss the hottest topics, tools, apps, and trends in the accounting industry. This show is sponsored by Rush Tech Support, who is offering all listeners of the show a free IT audit so you can know whether or not your business is at risk of being hacked, having a data breach, or getting fined hundreds of thousands of dollars for non-compliance. You can schedule a free check at rushtech.online/podcast.
And we are live again with another episode of the Tech Talk for Accountants show. I'm your host, Andrew Lassise with Rush Tech Support, specializing in IT for accountants. And today we have a very special guest. I'm very, very excited to have him on the show. Wright Networks CEO, Joel Hughes. Many of you probably have heard of their name at some point. I know in our world, we've seen their icon on a lot of our clients when we've onboarded accountants. And for us, a lot of times in the beginning, you know, we see a random icon and just kind of shrug it off, but we kept seeing it over and over and over and then started looking into what exactly is Wright Networks? What do they do? And so today, the hope is Joel can shine some light on what Wright Networks is, what moving QuickBooks to the cloud is, or moving your accounting software to the cloud. All these things are what they specialize in. And so, Joel, I'll have you give yourself a high-level introduction, and then we'll get into it.
Great. Yeah. Good morning, and I'm glad to join you here. Certainly trying to educate and expand knowledge in across the accounting industry. So at Wright Networks, we're, I think, best known as a hoster of QuickBooks desktop software. I mean, fundamentally, the company's been around for more than 15 years from sort of the early days of desktop software hosting. We've got some technology that allows us to put legacy Windows applications on servers in the cloud sort of with really high density. So we can provide, we think, a great service on which they secure desktop that includes hosted QuickBooks desktop and other applications. We're now hosting tax software like Lacerte and Pro Series, as well as Drake software on the tax side, and hundreds of other applications for really focused on accounting and tax professionals. The idea being, while you're using this software you're familiar with, your clients have probably been using for, you know, years, if not decades. But you really want the benefits of the cloud, right? So we believe the cloud benefits, you know, anywhere, anytime access, you know, backed up by somebody else and managed by somebody else, the ability to have integration with SaaS applications. All those things are possible for older applications like QuickBooks Desktop in the Wright Networks cloud, right? So we've been, as I said, sort of specializing with accounting and tax professionals for a long time. So we've got, and through our partnerships with Intuit and other vendors, we have, you know, more than a couple hundred thousand users of hosted applications. And really, we think about it now as sort of just like the Wright Networks cloud, right? So we can put your applications in a cloud and give you access to those with the kind of security, you know, backup and support that you're looking for. And therefore, you don't necessarily have to move to some of these next generation applications. We increasingly are supporting those too, but we just see that there's not necessarily a big migration of, let's say, in the case of QuickBooks, from desktop software to QuickBooks Online. It's great for certain customers and clients in the case of accounting firms, but for others, you know, where you're really doing heavy inventory related things, you're doing things that have you know, niche industry applications that need that desktop support, you know, that's great to access that in the cloud as well.
So for the people that have been using QuickBooks desktop, things of that nature, what you guys basically give them the ability to do is move QuickBooks desktop to the cloud without changing the entire platform from QuickBooks desktop to QuickBooks Online. And one of the things we see time and time again, and this is just one of the things you learn being in the tech industry, is most people, particularly business owners, they don't like drastic change. So while we can scream from the hilltops, this product is better than the one you're currently using, here's the security benefits, see, this is so easy, just do this, just do that, just do this, just do that, it's very easy for us when we haven't been living in that software for years or even decades, like you had said. So this is a wonderful hybrid opportunity where you can lift and shift. You don't have the kind of clutches of your server or the place where you're hosting it locally, which, you know, there's a kind of misconception, and I'm sure you could elaborate on this, where people, they have the mindset that the cloud is scary. I don't know what's going on. I'd much rather it be in my office because that's the most secure thing in the world, is in my office. I've got eyes on it. What could go wrong? And so being in the IT world, I know that that's a very, very false perception. And so what are your thoughts on the illusion of security on-prem versus the actual benefits of cloud hosted through, and not even only right networks, but just
of course,
in general?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I think it probably was truer, certainly even, let's say, 10 years ago, that, you know, knowing I've got a server over there, I've got the software on it, I feel like I've got my data in one place. And people might have gotten into some kind of backup system and felt good about that. I'd say people are certainly recognizing much more in the last even 3 years, probably. I mean, the security threats have multiplied, and the threat vectors have expanded dramatically, right? So I think it's actually the scariest thing probably to have servers in your office environment. However you're connected to the internet, you know, whatever, even if you have some good firewall system, and we're just seeing it over and over now, the ransomware attacks, all kinds of threats that are causing trouble, you know, the basic security around IT. And then, of course, as an accounting and tax professional, the kind of data that you're storing on behalf of your customers, right? So some of the most sensitive data, particularly on the tax side. So I think we're seeing, it used to be, he would say, hey, you know what? You know, my server's dying. You know, I'm a small accounting firm and I'm going to spend, you know, $10,000 for a new server. Maybe that'll be the impetus for me to move to the cloud, right? Instead of having make that CapEx expenditure, I can now start saying, hey, I'll put it in the cloud and I don't have to manage it anymore. That was more of an impetus, I'd say, 10 years ago. Now I'd say it's much more thinking, wow, I really do have a security challenge here. I really shouldn't be managing this stuff myself because I really can't do it every day, right? And I think that's where putting it in the cloud, whether it's getting public cloud or private cloud, the way we provide it for most of our customers, you know, we do have a security team that's got more than a dozen people on it. And so do other, you know, hosters and cloud providers, right? So that's become a bigger and bigger part of, I'd say, the value of a service. It was primarily, hey, accessing these applications I want to get to, which is still important, but it's also, have I secured that data associated with them? And do I feel good about how that, you know, evolves as these threat opportunities are expanding dramatically? So I think that's a real benefit of cloud providers, which is associated with security and data security, particularly for tax and accounting professionals.
And I think you're right. I think the conversation is a lot more, people are embracing it more than they were in the past. I mean, we've seen COVID has just kind of changed everybody's perception of what is secure, what isn't secure, what is running a business, what isn't running a business, do we need to be in the office at all times? Is cloud an opportunity for us to grow the firm? Could we scale it using this model? And for a long time, even being a technology firm, we were under the viewpoint of, yes, we could do this remotely, but it really needs to be in the office for reasons X, Y, and Z. Then COVID happens and, all right, well, just for the next couple of weeks until this blows over, we're just going to be remote. And it's like, well, the NPS scores aren't going down. Sales aren't going down. Everybody's happier working from home, and there don't seem to be any real consequences. And I mean, we have been built for it. And most small accounting firms, or large accounting firms for that matter, it wasn't necessarily part of the conversation, or maybe they had some on-prem, some cloud. But now, I mean, you know, we're more than a year into this where, you know, that the new normal, you know, that we're throwing around so much, I don't think there's anywhere near as much hesitation
or fear of the cloud, just because we've had to fast forward, they say 3 to 5 years in technology, just to solve this one problem. And whether or not people were ready to embrace it or wanted to embrace it, you know, the world basically said that you don't get a choice. Right. You have to do cloud or you're out of business until, I mean, you know, eventually a lot of people came back to the office. But so what are your kind of thoughts of, was this a benefit for an organization like yours, or was there kind of a plateau, flatline? What did the shift of the last 15 years look like for a cloud provider like Right Networks?
Yeah, and I think it's to your opening point too. Like, what's the, you know, obviously change is challenging for any business, right? When you have a business that's working, that's growing, or that's even just, you know, the way you want it to be, you don't want to introduce change, right? Change is risk. And I think certainly the push to the cloud over the last, you know, 10 or 15 years has been, hey, this is where it's all going. Yeah, I got to go there. Certainly in vendor land and tech land, the speak is, you get modernized, get you know, to the cloud. And I think that sounds great. And I think most people have been understanding, oh, what are the benefits? And it used to be that was maybe, you know, new applications, then it was application access. Now it's becoming more about security. It's becoming more about work remotely, work from home. Hey, can I now hire people that aren't geographically near me, right? And as I think the accounting industry has looked at its challenges, I definitely say the worker shortage, you know, the need for maybe expanding the hiring pool geographically has been a driver. So all of those potential cloud benefits, I think, are starting to accrue to the place where there are more and more reasons to move to the cloud, but it's still a change, right? It's still hard to do that. And to your point, I think the pandemic has just accelerated that dramatically. It's like you couldn't really choose to do that, right? And I'd say that it also allowed, you know, everybody had to do it, right? All accounting firms had to do it. All of their clients had to do it. So given we all had to do it at the same time together, it's much more accept. Well, it's accepted now. It's necessary, right? So certainly for our business at Right Networks, we're mostly a, let's call it, cloud technology provider, right? And we also have some businesses around helping, you know, firms be more successful. So all of that has just accelerated, I think, a lot of the stuff we've been talking about for a while. So it's been fundamentally good for our business. I think it's also just moved, you know, the whole industry's mentality forward. But there's still a lot of work to do in there. We spend a lot of time on trying to really be specific on, to your point, it's not necessarily a one-time lift and shift and you reboot your entire firm. That's too much. That's too much to bite off in one gulp, right? So I think we're trying to have, you know, a roadmap with firms to say, okay, great, you've got some stuff on-prem, you've got some stuff that's in the cloud. You know, over the next year or two or three, how are you going to get from A to B, right? And I think that works well. It's not necessarily a one size fits all, for sure. And we try to kind of meet people where they are and say, what are your priorities here? Is it, if it's work from home, if it's hiring remote workers, let's make sure we can onboard new workers onto a platform that's managed, right? If it's, you feel like you have more of a security vulnerability, let's address that first. But generally speaking, you know, the solutions to many of these problems or challenges is cloud adoption of some type.
And I think it's good that you had mentioned that you focus on what the priorities of the firm actually are, because I know a lot of times as people in the IT industry, we want everybody to want what we want, and we have a different viewpoint of what's important, and you need to have all these enterprise products because there's all these vulnerabilities out there and most people don't see them on a day-to-day basis. But, you know, a lot of times the conversation will be, well, that doesn't apply to me, and it doesn't apply to you, correct, until it does. And you're not seeing it every day. We had a new client a couple weeks ago, and I was talking to him, and he had said, well, my bank account just got emptied and I didn't do it, but somebody wired, it was something like $40,000-$50,000 from his account. And so, I mean, he basically had us do like a high level forensics. I mean, it's not really what we do, but I mean, we know enough to kind of point finger and figure it out. And so he's using Chase, and Chase has a pretty good, this is an unrecognized device. We sent you a password in your email for two-factor authentication, prove your device. So they couldn't have just copy-pasted the password from a, a data breach where they reused the password. And he had told me he doesn't reuse the passwords. So what had happened, though, he had TeamViewer open, unattended access, because that's how he gets to his computer. There's no 2FA on it. So overnight, they guessed his TeamViewer account, looked at his bookmarks, Chase, auto login, wired everything straight from it. And so for me, I see that, and you know, it is drilled in my head. This could have happened to me. I mean, the unattended access from TeamViewer, this won't happen to me. But then I spoke to the person that it did happen. The bank isn't trying to give him $50,000, $40,000 back, because their argument is this was you. It came from your IP address on your saved password. There was no manipulation. This was you.
Yeah.
And, you know, we see that. So we understand this is the importance of having strong passwords, two-factor authentication, because it can happen to you. But people that don't see it, they say, it's a lot of hoops. Two-factor authentication is inconvenient. So the security, and you had mentioned you have a lot of people focusing on security for these exact reasons. It's not just pop Norton on the computer and call it a day. So what are some of the things that you guys go through? And I know you're probably not in the trenches granular, but higher level, what are some of the things that the security team focuses on?
Yeah, well, two-factor authentication is a perfect example. We've been talking about this for a few years now, right? We've made it available. We still have, I'd say, a small minority of our customers opting to use it. We're considering whether to make it mandatory, even though it's too much work. I mean, I don't know about you, but personally, I'm 2FAing into all kinds of stuff now. My own bank accounts, certainly. Other anything financially related, I've put that on because once you get used to that, I've got, you know, Duo on my phone and it's, you know, bang, bang, bang. I'm really used to it, right? I think that at some point we might even need to your point, these anecdotes need to be sort of accumulated so people understand, you know, again, your business is probably even more important than it is in your personal life. And I think we've got more personal adoption than we have business adoption. And we see this, you know, so our security team, we're getting, you know, DDoSed every day. It's unbelievable the stats. I mean, I check in once a quarter from the security team because I'm just like overwhelmed sometimes when I feel, you know, we disrupted this many things. We have, again, with more than, you know, almost a couple hundred thousand users in our environment, there's stuff happening all the time, right? So we're shutting down accounts and then mitigating risk and then getting people back up and running because it is at the level of essentially the kind of description you just gave there, right? Somebody's on a hosted desktop for us. We've got that quite well walled off. So there's no access to anybody else's data. But even in that case, people will be, you know, if they're using, let's say, Outlook on that desktop and if somebody comes in through a phishing attack, it can end up getting to access to something. We shut them down. So we're just doing that all the time, right? And we're working with a relatively small number of customers, but it's every month. Something happens, we shut down their account, we go figure out what happened with them, we give them a backup, you know, that's a day old and get them back up and running. So I think a lot of this is becoming, there are two things. It used to be, to your point, we put antivirus on with the idea that, well, then I'm safe because like the software is going to protect me. And really the state we're in now is whether it's antivirus or, you know, some of this malware support, and there's more and more good software for this. We use CrowdStrike and Bitdefender and a bunch of other stuff. For sort of like secure workstations, you know, most of it's alerting you that something's happening. And then you still have to go, well, what am I going to do now? Right? You go from like, oh, something happened to what's my mitigation strategy? And that's when you get into, well, okay, can we shut it down fast enough so we don't lose the money? Can we go to a backup to, you know, get the data back? And I think what we're seeing more and more is we as a service provider need to sort of provide a secure service for that because, again, the small business owner, you know, was hoping I could just buy software for $5 a month, put it on my laptop and I'm safe. And it's like, that's not really the way it works anymore. You have to like get the alerts, take action against that, and then really clean yourself up, right? So I think it's just changing how we think about security as something that's like in the platform too. Well, that's part of it, but then we have to really be delivering, have an ongoing dialogue with the customer, let them know what's happening, and just set expectations. Like, this is going to, a version of this is, people are trying to do it every day. It's happening more and more. And we just saw, we spent some time with some of the insurance companies, right? Some of like the ransomware security stuff. That's changed dramatically in the last 6 months because, again, we're seeing more stories about it. But I mean, the amount of the ransomware attacks is way up. People are paying more and more. It used to be, 3 years ago, people were paying 10 or 20K for this, even like, municipalities and, but certainly accounting and tax firms are good targets. People are paying more. They're paying more with cyber, right? With cryptocurrencies. And it's just exploding that market. So the insurance people are saying, wait a minute, before I even give you an insurance policy against this kind of stuff, I need to see, like, what are you doing? So I think, we're seeing that you need to have a security sort of a secure mentality and an approach of, well, how am I going to secure everything I'm doing? And particularly then if I'm interfacing with an insurance provider, they're going to be asking me more harder questions. And it might be, I need sort of a little more like a, now people are talking about what MSSP managed security, I think a solution provider or whatever. So that's what we're seeing is security becoming a service that needs to be provided beyond just software that sort of secures my laptops.
Yeah, we had spoken to a handful of companies that do cyber insurance, and they had reached out to us and sort of how, regular insurance works on your house, where you need to have a four-point inspection, you need to have a wind mitigation. We need to see and understand what we are insuring against and make sure that we're not going to, at the end of the day, their goal is you pay them more money than they pay you. That's how they make their money, plus investing the money. But, essentially, they want to pay you less than you pay them. And so we had been approached and they were saying, can you run audits on the potential vulnerabilities and risks of these people that we're going to be insuring? Because we don't really know. And in the past, this was just a, hey, if you gotta pay ransom, then we're here for you. And now they're like, this happens to everybody. We have to make sure that
we're paying too much ransom, right? So the math is like, wait, now we have to actually do a lot more sort of diligence on the way in, right? And they're saying, and they're just starting to learn a little bit of, well, what's the technology mean? Is it on-prem? Is it cloud hosted? Who's the provider? Can we, we do all kinds of things with penetration testing by third parties. That's part of what we do because we run a giant platform, right? But the insurance companies need sort of a version of that, right? As they look in at these and every one of their clients, and they're just figuring out, can we do that? And I'd say people like us need to both help educate them as well as give our customers a very, a platform that's better than as many other platforms as we can. So their insurance rates are lower because we have fewer, right, successful attacks with payments. And the insurance companies say, hey, if it's, Rush Tech or it's Right Networks, I know that my liabilities are much lower because they're already doing a lot of this, secure mitigation on the way in, and I'm not going to get as many successful attacks.
And this is one of those things that, unfortunately, our best clients are the ones that have experienced these pains before. And, we'll have people call us, everything's been encrypted. And okay, well, what does your backup situation look like? Well, I didn't really want to pay for that. It sounded pretty expensive. And it's like, well, you're in a really tough spot right now, because even removing the infection, the encryption is going to still, everything is going to be encrypted still. So we can stop it from re-encrypting new things. And I actually was doing a client just a couple weeks ago, and I saw in one of their deep folders, we'll skip all the details, but it had a whole bunch of readmes at the top of each folder that I was going into. And I was like, my heart just sunk. I was like, oh my God, they got hit with ransomware. And I was alone in the company doing these migrations. And I was like, what did I do? I was like, I've never been. And I looked at the dates on it, and it was from 3 or 4 years ago. And I called the owner and I was like, did you guys get hit with ransomware? They're like, oh yeah, it was terrible. That's why we have a company like yours. We could never go through that again. We lost everything. So that's why it's really important to us. And I was like, you know, your last guy, he didn't get rid of everything. You still got remnants in here. You have me freaking out. The antivirus is going crazy finding these encrypted files. And I'm like, what am I looking at? I thought for a second that I had done something, and then I just realized it was remnants left over, and probably why they replaced their old guy with us.
Right. Well, I think to your point too, it's also hard because, and we talk about this internally all the time, it's like as we build more defenses here and sort of invest in this stuff, it can come off with, to your point, with uninformed customers or prospects that, you know, it's an overreach. Like, you know, do I really need that? I don't want, starting with two-factor authentication right through it, encryption. And there are all these now sort of scary stories that are happening more and more often. And we almost feel like, well, how do we not just sort of threaten this, you know, fear, uncertainty, and doubt with customers or clients? What is right for them? Scare them, but, you know, sort of scared straight, but not feeling like you're, you know, twisting people's arms and trying to sell them something they don't need, right? It's a kind of a tough sort of marketing education challenge, I would say, overall. And I think what we're trying to do is just, yeah, be more transparent. And we're considering sharing sort of stats across our environment because it's so large right now that we could sort of just say, hey, this is what we're seeing out there. But at the same time, we feel like then that puts like maybe a target on our back. So we don't want to do that for like, you know, the criminals out there. And it's a tough situation to not, you know, be Chicken Little, but also, you know, really help your customers.
I do think it comes to the responsibility of the provider to educate that these, yes, you see these things in the news and the pipeline hack that happened a couple weeks ago, and then prices went up and the lines are out the door because of this one. And, you know, the one we hear most often is, well, this wouldn't apply to me because I'm too small. I don't have as much impact as they would. But the reality is over 90% of these attacks happen through email. And if your email is on a list and you get sent the email, they need a 0.001 open rate in order to infect companies. It's not a matter of they want to infect you. It's you happened to be on a list and happened to click it. And these problems, they never are real until it really hits home. And like I was saying, the clients that have experienced it,
right,
they are the ones that will never go without it. People that have lost all their data because a hard drive crashed, they will never not use backup. And I've had clients, and in the past, you know, we learn as we go, but I'd recommended, we had a client that had their server was in a RAID 1 and one of the hard drives died. And so we told them, hey, we dodged a bullet. One of your hard drives died. You need backup and we need to replace this drive. And her response was, sounds expensive. 3 days later, they lost 30 years of business. And she's like, we'll get it back. And I was like, you declined. I told you this was like, you were actually in the perfect position because it wasn't, I'm paying this money for backup and I never need it. I told you, you're going to need it very, very soon. So we changed. Now everybody has to have backup because of this one unfortunate anecdote. But the sharing the stories and the experience that we see from so many different angles. And even if you have a 99% rate, like you had said, with over 100,000 users, that means you've seen it 1,000 plus times, which is enough times that it needs to be brought up. And even though 99%, it probably won't happen to you. If you just think about that conceptually, 99% of 1 year, that means it'll happen 3 times over the course of a year. At 99%. So, you know, when you kind of frame it that way, not you only have a 1% chance, but through the course of the year, statistically, this could happen. three times if we're using these numbers. So educating clients on here are things that we have seen, but at the same time, I get what you're saying. You don't want to have a target on your back of we have 100% mitigation. Nobody can penetrate us. Here's our IP address. Come at me.
Right. Right. I think it's also, I do think that these stories, the anecdotes, and now a lot of shared experiences are bringing people to understand it used to be more like an add-on. It was like an IT add-on. Do I want to pay extra for backup, for example, you know? And I think it's becoming an integral part of running your business, which is securing your data and your customers' data. And so I think it's changing a little bit about how, you know, firms think about that cost needs to be part of their cost of doing business versus sort of an optional belt and suspenders kind of a thing, which you might've thought about before, but not everybody's there. So I think, to your point, I think we start sort of self-selecting our customers to say, hey, here's the kind of service we provide because we feel like this is the minimum. And maybe that minimum is more than somebody else. You know, you choose the right provider for you, but you know, we're just taking our best experience across our customer base, right, and what we've seen in the past and what we see in the market today, and trying to create solutions that we think are really going to meet your needs. And, you know, people can not become a customer, but I think that's what we're trying to find, that balance, and make sure we're really protecting our customer base to the extent, you know, possible, and investing in the right technologies and sort of personnel going forward to make that true, you know, ongoing.
And so kind of segueing into you had mentioned, you know, these were kind of would you like to pay extra money for extra security that may or may not be part of, you know, this may or may not protect you for something that may or may not happen, want to pay extra for it just in case. So, and that's one of the realizations that we had come to and why we just bundle here is our package. Yep. And with accountants, there's a lot of compliance things that it kind of helps alleviate. This isn't me trying to sell you an extra thing that you may or may not need, but you know, here is publication from the IRS that recommends it. And that's why we recommend it and put all of our clients on it. It's for your protection. It's for compliance. And so recognizing these things as you go on. And so, you know, in the conversation of moving on in the future, what are some of the future things looking like for Right Networks?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think that, and to your point, I think that the key here is really putting, I'll call it generic IT needs in the context of this vertical that we're serving, right? That's why, you know, companies like yours and ours, I think are particularly good at, you know, servicing the needs of accounting and tax firms, because we do understand what are their compliance needs, right? Well, how do they interact with their clients that might be different and unique that other, let's say, professional services or generic businesses don't do? And that's where I think we add the most value. So we're always spending time thinking about, well, what is it from a roadmap standpoint that are the products and services needed by the industry we're serving? And we're not looking at whatever lawyers and construction people, we're looking at accounting and tax professions. So for us, particularly as it relates to, I'd say IT support, you know, application access and general sort of cloud security, we're thinking more about, we've always looked at sort of the firm and the firm's users. We're spending more time now looking at, okay, and now we're interacting with and sharing files all the time, obviously with clients. So the connection from firms to their clients, you might say historically you've got things, but let's say in the tax area, you've got portals, you know, a lot of these sort of legacy software systems have portals to upload tax documentation. I've got a lot of sensitive PII there. I think in the case of bookkeeping, you've got sort of ongoing weekly, if not monthly, you know, sharing of files. We're spending more time trying to automate connections between clients and their firms, you know, put them into the cloud together. So that can be an automated data exchange. We're not sending files, you know, attached to emails, which is, you know, huge no-no.
Right.
And really making that a secure and more automated, therefore a better client experience for the connected clients of firms. And that's where we bought a couple smaller companies that are in the area of application integration, particularly with QuickBooks Desktop. So if you think about a firm today, we talk about the going back to sort of QuickBooks Desktop hosted versus QuickBooks Online or Xero. look, we have to assume that every firm has clients across those, right? We've got some clients that are using QBO, some are using desktop, some are using other applications. We're trying to, as Right Networks, think about, well, how can we provide a single solution and platform allows you to, as a firm, to service all your clients in a similar fashion? So it's not like, well, geez, my desktop users who have desktop on their own server, I got to deal with them. You know, they're walking to my office and giving me a, you know, a thumb drive. Like, we don't want that. How do we connect to them? How do we automatically, you know, connect to their data and then make our bookkeeping process more seamless? So we're really thinking about client connectivity, application, you know, integration, automation, and security within that context. So that's, as we think forward on the cloud, it's the cloud starts to include not just the firm and its users, but how do we include in that cloud, you know, their clients?
And benefits like that are going to only help accountants, bookkeepers, tax professionals. It's going to make their job easier too, right? Especially if the integration is solid and it works well. Because I mean, one of the common things we hear is they ask somebody for their P&L and they'll send them a bank statement or they'll send a balance sheet. And, you know, not everybody goes into business to run a business. A lot of times people start a business because they're good at a trade and just one thing leads to another and they become one as time goes on. So having the integration that pulls out bank statements directly where you don't have to A, request it and wait for them to get it back to you, but then have that awkward conversation of, I said bank statement, not payroll. I get that I do this every day, but how do you not know what this word means? And so just having that automated, have it integrated. We had hired someone, this was a few years back, and she had only used a legacy accounting software. And I was showing her, we use QBO, and I was showing her how it works. And she was like, oh, did you just already type in these transactions and now we're categorizing them? And I was like, no, this just happens automatically. And she was like, this was my entire full-time job, was
moving typing in transactions, right? Most of which she got right, but not all, because it's prone for error, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, to be fair, there's like one or two errors that happen through the automation, but it's why you reconcile your books. Right. And it's very, very, very rare that these issues happen. And it's usually, at least for a company of our size, where if it is off, it's one transaction. It's like, oh, it's off $28.72. And I had one transaction for that exact amount. Hey, it didn't come in.
Right.
Type it in manually. But that's the direction that things are going. And it makes things easier. It makes the data more, have more integrity behind the data. And if everything talks to everything, that then in turn, that can be time that you used to be spending doing manual data entry that anybody could do that maybe you had outsourced or something like that. Now it's just automatic. It's always right. And you can focus on growing your company. You can focus on billing your hourly for consulting. You can focus on the things that actually put money in your pocket, right? Not just the boxes that you have to check. And that's where these technologies really help organizations. And it's not just a, wouldn't that be nice to have? I don't really mind doing it though. And less of that and more of, this is just how it is. And this is going to make my life easier. It's going to make the user's life easier. And then there's the whole conversation of, well, if I'll get rid of my job if this starts happening. But
yeah, I mean, the way we think about that is hopefully we're going to make you more profitable, right? So even just say, even if you're reducing work that you're doing that's not as valuable, and ideally have more time to do more valuable services, right? So people think about, well, how do I get from transactional services to advisory? Or how can I add more value to my client relationships? Well, part of that is just getting not super valuable work off your plate, right? And that allows you to spend more time on other things. And ideally, we think about it primarily more as that automation should free up cycles for more valuable work that can make you more valuable to your clients and therefore drive profitability, right? It's kind of like sell more to your existing clients or provide more value to your clients, and that will turn into better profitability for your firm.
And with those things that are just checking the boxes, the compliance work, things like that, it takes away, if you're doing advisory services and you're working hand in hand, and you know the accounting profession is one of the big ones that's built on trust equity, because people hire an accountant usually because they know them or referred by them. So there's an inherent trust that comes into that. So if you're able to spend more time with your clients and build that rapport with them, you're showing more value. And you know, on the side of the person that hires an accountant, and we see this in IT also, it's like, if my books reconcile and I get my P&L and my balance sheet and all of these are done correctly, that's what I paid you for. You know, the fact that you did it correctly, yes, that does separate you from a bad one, but I'm expecting that you have the competence to do this thing that needs to be done correctly. And I mean, this is just, you know, a whole different conversation of AI and it's taking away the menial jobs, but you know, the value that you bring to the marketplace needs to be something that is unique to you and your unique perspective in you providing value to others. And if you can say, here are some strategies that I can see where I'm going to save you $100,000 here, I'm going to save you $100,000 here, save you here's $300,000 in savings, and my fee is $50,000. They will pay $50,000 if you can save them another $250,000. They won't pay $50,000 if you spent that time punching numbers and making sure that the books lined up.
Right. I totally agree. And that's where I'd say, you know, strategically, we're spending a lot of time now moving forward with this idea of, you know, integrating the data between, let's say, applications from the client to the firm is then, and hopefully through some of that automation, we're freeing up time for the firm to do some higher level value delivery. It's really about understanding your clients better. Can I have intelligence about my client? To your point, like I have time now, not just to deliver the P&L, but to look at the P&L and say, oh, gee, they're not doing this or not doing that, or we could be doing this, right? And then going back to them and saying, oh, we should be borrowing money against receivables because our receivables are outstanding and we have a cash flow challenge, or on and on and on, right? I mean, the accounting professionals have the capabilities to, you know, understand the business better if they have the data readily available, or if they spend all their time recreating the data, punching in the data to deliver the reports just once a month. That's really not adding that much value. It's like, well, can I look at those now, interpret them, and then make suggestions to the client, which will improve their business? That's really where the payoff comes.
And ultimately, at the end of the day, like a great accountant is worth their weight in gold if you can provide more value than you cost. I mean, that's a super, super easy, and it's transactional, and I know it's kind of blunt, but you know, on the side of someone that wants to be paying, or, you know, the accountant that wants to have high paying clients that aren't just these tire kickers looking for the lowest rate. Yep. If you can provide that value by getting rid of the little things and having them done correctly, yep, focusing more on the consulting. And this has been the conversation, the accounting industry, right, for the last decade, right, that you're going to have to go to the advisory side. And the compliance side, yeah, you can get mad that H&R Block, you know, just churns and burns these 1040s and it's, you know, it's not fair. They don't know as much as I know. And it's like, well, you shouldn't be competing against that,
right,
if you can provide that value. And that's where the advisory piece comes in and where all this ties together, that basically I think what we're getting at is everyone should have right networks so that.
Well, I would say that. To your point, it really is, you know, ultimately the cloud allows for automated data access. And when firms have more data about their clients automatically, they can provide a lot more value. That's really what it is. That's, so a huge benefit of the cloud is, yeah, running your business, but it's really understanding your clients better and being able to drive higher value to them and therefore more profitability for you as a firm. Go to the cloud.
Absolutely. Well, Joel, I really appreciate your time. Where can people learn more about you and Right Networks?
Certainly, yeah. Just www.rightnetworks.com. Come and see what we're doing. We're a lot of webinars, a lot of educational, I think, content there around the subjects we've been discussing here. So look forward to meeting you in the future, face to face, Andrew, and hopefully some of the viewers of this podcast as well.
Absolutely. And guys, if you enjoyed the episode, please be sure to share it and subscribe. That's how we grow the channel and attract awesome people like Joel from Right Networks. I'm so just grateful that you took the time out to be on the show. And thank you so much, Joel. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Talk for Accountants show. Be sure to subscribe if you like the show. And remember, if you would like a complimentary IT audit of your business, go to rushtech.online/podcast to schedule a time with a certified technician who can look over your current IT systems and make recommendations on how to make sure you and your clients are safe.